that, Charity. Thank you. Get your Bibles out this morning. If you know Charity, that is, I would say, her anthem. Yeah. Amen. That's her life's desires, that her life would count for the Lord. How about you? Amen. What do you want your life to count for? You know, one day at the end of this, we stand before the Lord. And it ought to be our goal, it ought to be our desire that we hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That ought to be our desire. Isaiah chapter number 64, and then 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Can you grab two spots? Two spots. I appreciate modern technology. Say, what do you mean? Oh, things like air conditioning, refrigeration, the automobile. Thankful for the ability to get from one place to the next. I'm thankful for vehicles. You know, the older my vehicles get, the more of a miracle it is when they start right up, you know, and keep getting there. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, all of a sudden we're halfway somewhere and it just said, no, you know, we're not doing this today. Our van or truck or something like that. And I get it. But a vehicle is somewhat limited in where it can and cannot go. Even in our area, if we just stayed in our state, if we had no, listen now, I know this is a silly introduction, but if we had no bridges, we'd be kind of locked. Say, how so? Because my vehicle can't cross water. I mean, it's as nice of a van or a truck or whatever it is that we have, and I'm not a big fan of boats. Unless you had a bridge, you're not getting across. A few months ago, we went over into Canada, and you got to cross that Rainbow Bridge or the Peace Bridge, or I think it's the Lewiston Bridge. All three of those bridges get you into Canada. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to get into Canada. You need a bridge. A bridge, what it does is, and the purpose of a bridge is to get from one place to the next that would otherwise be impassable. You know, in our picture up above us, there, our theme for this year, it says, do good and communicate. And on purpose, there's a bridge in the back. That wasn't just like, oh, this looks like a Western New York fall foliage, and in a month or two, that's what it's going to look like around here. But the purpose of that bridge is on purpose in that picture to remind us that there is a direct correlation between our life and it should be someone else's. We should be bridging a gap. But long before we could ever do that, a bridge was built by the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter number 64. Isaiah 64, this is about 700 years before the birth of Christ. Isaiah makes this statement. He says, oh, that thou wouldest rend Isaiah 64. Did I tell you that before? All right, Isaiah 64. If you haven't found 1 Timothy chapter number 2, just listen in a few minutes. Isaiah 64, it says, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Say, that doesn't sound like a bridge. That's what the prophet is calling for. Isaiah the prophet desired that God would split open the heavens and show himself to the world. Well, 700 years after that, or 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth. And now we go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. I love talking to people about the Lord. I love hearing what they have to say about the things of God, and then examining what the Scripture says. Because everybody's got an idea. Everyone's got an opinion. Everyone's got a thought of how we got here. What are we doing here? Where does this end? But then God clarifies all of it, right? No matter what you think, God says, here's what is. And I love asking people, and I like talking to people about Jesus. And you ask people and you say, what are your thoughts about Jesus? Oh, he was a good man. Do we need Jesus? Absolutely. Why do we need Jesus? Well, what did Jesus do for you? Well, he He died. Yeah, but what does that do for you? A lot of people have died. But he died on the cross. And in this passage, wait till you see what Jesus did for us. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2, I exhort, and that means I encourage, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Hey, I hope you're praying for that. I hope you're praying for your public officials. I hope you're praying for your president. I hope you're praying for local officials that they would allow and make it lawful to live in godliness. That's our responsibility as Christians, is it not? We ought to be praying for our officials. For this is good, the Bible says, and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. Look at verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator. I'm not changing the word of God, but in our mind, to help us define what mediator is, if we could use the word bridge. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for your word. God, as Charity sang, may it all be our heart's desire that our life is to live for you. God, now I pray that you'd help us to see the great thing that you did for us when you died on the cross. And at the same time, our obligation and responsibility and response to it. Lord, I pray that you'd be in this place, right here, right now. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm certainly excited about the fellowship after the good food. I saw some great looking food coming in. One of the first people that were here, I think it was Kathy and Seth, and they're here for bus ministry. And I said, what was your signature dish? And she said these two words, pulled pork. And just immediately, I rejoiced. And how do you not get excited about pulled pork? Hallelujah. That's exactly what I said. But before that, Jesus Christ, the bridge. Between what? Where are we getting to? What's on either side? What it was impassable that if it wasn't for Jesus, I couldn't get there. I'll tell you, it's the Father. You can't get to God the Father without Jesus Christ. He is the mediator. That's what it says in verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. Just one. There is one bridge to cross. If I wanted to go to Canada, there's many a different ways. You could go way up north and you could cross up way up north and cross over into Montreal, if you will. You can head over to Niagara Falls, and there's three bridges over in that way. But if you want to get to heaven, there's one bridge. There's only one way. There is one mediator between God and men. The man Christ Jesus. There's no man that can get you to God outside of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse 6, it says, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. So how do I get to the Father? By the one Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:51 says, and he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, kind of like Isaiah was talking about, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Hey, what's the connection between heaven and earth? What is the bridge? Imagine if we think about that. Jacob, you like science? Do you like science? Okay, for all intents and purposes, right now you do. And so Jacob, in a study of science, and he loves the outside, how big would the bridge have to be to go from earth to heaven? Say, there's no bridge big enough. Jesus says, through me, I am the bridge between heaven and earth. I am the bridge between man and the throne of God. Because otherwise, outside of Christ, we would be stranded. We'd be stuck. I'd want to get over to, here, go to Isaiah chapter 59. Oh, we're not trying to pass over water. We got a much bigger problem than water. Isaiah 59. Look at verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Hey, good news this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ can save your soul. You call out to him and he can hear you.
Amen.
Say, what has separated me? Look at verse 2. But your iniquities, your sins have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Say, I want to get to God. I want to go to the Father, but there's an impasse. There's something between you and God. And what is it? It's your sin. Say, then I need a bridge. I need something to get over this expanse that I could not travel. I can't get from here to there without the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the mediator. He is the bridge. Hey, listen to me. If you're trying any other way to get to God outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to sink. You won't get there. Jesus is the only way to the Father. And that bridge, oh, it leads somewhere. Say, where do I go? If he does bridge that gap, if he is the thing that gets me from heaven, well, from earth to heaven, if he's the one that can forgive me of my sin, what does that destination look like? I'm so glad you asked. Hebrews chapter number 10. Number one. Hebrews chapter number 10. The book of Hebrews is a remarkable book. I love it. There's some areas in it that, Brother Parrott, that are some harder passages if you don't understand what's going on. But I like it because it just makes, it's kind of like the book of John. It just makes Christ better than anything else. And that's what the book of Hebrews is. It is comparison between the most holy things in the Hebrew faith and then showing that Jesus is better. In Hebrews chapter 9, chapter 10 and verse 19, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Here you are. The expanse of sin is in between. And I want to be holy. How do I get to holiness over here, because my sin has separated me from that? By the blood of Jesus Christ, it says. That's the only thing. Back in the Old Testament, there was something called the tabernacle, and in that tabernacle, it was a special place. It was surrounded by a curtain wall, if you will, and inside there you go, and there were some different pieces of furniture, and a tabernacle, it's kind of like a, I don't want to take away from it, but it was kind of like a big glorified tent, and it was a movable, and you would go into the holy place, and that was a special place, but inside the holy place was something called the most holy place. It's called the Holy of Holies, and once a year the high priest would go in, and he would be allowed to cross through that veil, and inside there was the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat, and he would make atonement for the sins of Israel. But if he had any sin inside of his heart or in his life, the minute he stepped into that holiest place on earth, he would die immediately. Culture tells us, and the scriptures infer to it, that there'd be a rope tied around him some way, and there were upon the bottom of his garments little noisemakers, like little bells, and because you could, if he died, you couldn't go in there. So they would listen to see, are the bells done ringing? Because if the bells stopped ringing, they would give a little tug at the rope. If they felt a tug back, okay, he just was doing stuff. But if they tugged at the rope and the bell stopped ringing, They would tug at the rope. That means he died. And they would have to pull that rope and pull that person out. That's how holy that place was. And God says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Say, how on earth could I have such a be in such a holy place? By the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. You know what? We can go right into that place. Having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. What are these next two words? Without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. The destination of that bridge, number one, is into the holiest place. A place we could never go without Christ. It gives us something. Here it says these two words in verse 22, full assurance. Israel never had that. Through Christ, Saul, the first king, was anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. And that did things contrary to the guidance of God and lost the Holy Spirit and couldn't get it back. David, also anointed, did things, should have lost it and didn't. And you look at that and go, that doesn't make sense. I don't understand. You know what? We don't have to worry about that. We have something called full assurance through Christ. Look at John chapter number 5. You know what Christ offers? Full assurance. Man, I'm thankful for that. One of our favorite songs that we sing here. Blessed what? Assurance. I can see Mrs. Bayer's hand going up. John 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Say, how do I cross the bridge from death unto life? There's only one way. Jesus Christ. And he offers full assurance. And what a blessing that is. Hey, if you're saved here today, you know what you have? Assurance. Say, I don't know. I don't think I'm that good. It's based on God's promises, not your promises. Aren't you glad God made that promise to you? Man. I did nothing to earn salvation. I could do nothing to lose it. Nothing. John chapter number 10, verse 28. Look at these words. As a dad, growing up, having little kids, maybe you played that game where you would put a toy in a hand and the child would try and get it open and open it up and close it, open it up and close it. But here it says this in verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. This is God talking. That's assurance. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Hey, when you go from death to life, when you cross that bridge through Christ, and you're on this side, you're into the holiest place. Say, what's it like over here? Full assurance. He says, I'm going to put you in my hand, and I'm going to hold, and nobody is getting you out. Sealed until the day of redemption. I remember one time, I so appreciate my boys, they help out, and the one time he brought me water, and I asked for water, but I rarely drink it, I don't know, and I opened the water, and you know what I didn't hear? Crack. I was like, well, that means the seal was tampered with before, and then you look at the deliverer, and it's like, I'm just going to set this off on the side. God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to seal you. You're sealed until I get you. And nothing can get you out of my hand. When you cross from death to life, it is eternal life. And you can never lose that. That's good news. Full assurance. Ephesians chapter number 2. Number 1, full assurance. Number 2, true worship. Ephesians chapter number 2. Thankful for the bridge. Hey, outside of Christ, there's no hope. And Christ is the bridge of hope. If we're stuck on this side, hey, I want to get over there so bad. I want to go there. How do I get to the holy place? How do I get to the Father? How do I get to heaven? Well, there's only one bridge. There's only one mediator between God and man. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter number 2. And you hath he quickened, in verse 1, who are dead in trespasses and sins. Quickened means to be made alive. Again, that's the passing from death unto life. And because of that, go to John chapter number 4. And you hath he quickened who were dead. He made you alive. John chapter number 4 and verse 23. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The opportunity for true worship. True worship. Hey, on this side, without Christ, it's not true worship. Why? Because your spirit is dead. You need to cross over, and truly, to be able to worship the Lord, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. Because otherwise, you are just dead, spiritually speaking. Hey, sometimes I think we neglect the importance of how incredibly important it is to worship the Lord in our hearts. Do you worship God? Well, I mean, I was at church singing. Yeah, but all the time? Like, is there an attitude and a heart of worship in your heart? It ought to be. I think we neglect that sometimes. I think we overlook the importance of that. I think we maybe, if you are here and you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, hey, you've kind of, yeah, you've entered in the holiest place, but kind of forgot about how good it is over here. It makes me so sad to hear about. It just doesn't make sense to me when I hear about people that crossed over and want to go back. Why would you ever want to go back to what you were? Don't you remember what it was like over here? It was a mess. The world was hurting you. You had no hope. You had no assurance. No, I know I love Jesus, but I just want to go live in the world for a while. Man, that's a mess. Neglect worship. John chapter number 14. I would say a familiar verse, John 14 and verse 6. Jesus talking to Thomas here. Thomas saith unto him, verse 5, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know what he says? I'm the bridge. I am the thing that gets you from your life, separated by your sin, to Christ. And now over here, you have an opportunity. A relationship with God. Something you never had, you could never have before. the ability to communicate with God himself. Go back to just a couple pages, John chapter number 10. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See, that sounds kind of creepy, hearing the voice of God. Oh, the Lord speaks to us. He speaks to us through his word. We can talk to him. Hey, one of the most important aspects of a relationship is what? Communication. You could have, you wouldn't even have two nickels to rub together, but you could have a strong relationship with your spouse if you can communicate. Say, no, no, we need money. Well, money certainly helps, but the ability to communicate with one another is vital. So it is with your relationship with the Lord. Before the bridge, there was no communication. It said in Isaiah 59, he didn't even hear you. That's serious. Oh no, me and God, we're good. Did you cross the bridge? No, I'm over here, but he knows me. We're good. We're on speaking terms. You're lying to yourself. Because the expanse of sin has separated you from God. But over here, there's communication. So how do I talk to God? Does he like have a phone? Like, can I call? He wrote you a letter. A letter. It's called the Word of God. The Bible. He communicates with you. Go to 1 John chapter number 1. Fellowship with the Father. 1 John 1, 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Say, how do I fellowship with him? Through his word. Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your relationship with the Lord is had by communication. You reading what God says. Hey, you can't be satisfied with not reading the scriptures. When you cross over and you now are in the holy place, there better be communication. Well, I just didn't have time for it. That's the worst excuse you could say. You know what that means? That means I just don't care. If you broke down your time, I promise you, we'd find time for you and the Lord. You just put things ahead of it. You said, no, God, I don't want to communicate with you. I want to go do this. Well, how do you expect this relationship to continue? How do you expect this relationship to grow? It won't grow if you're not communicating. What did God speak to you about this week? What did he talk to you about? What did he teach you from his word? Well, I'm just not a good reader. Then he would have given us the scriptures in another way. But we have it in a book telling me that he finds this book really important. Say, I've read the Bible, read it again. Well, I've read it twice, read it a third time. When you get to the end, start again. Over and over and over again. Say, I'm not into that. I don't. Okay, try talking to your spouse once. Well, I talked to him yesterday. I talked to him a year ago. Isn't that enough? No. Constant communication. If you're going to have a relationship with the Lord, see, he's calling right now. Through your Bible, through prayer. There's a misunderstanding about prayer. Well, I got to get to the house of God. I got to get to church to pray. No, you don't. My alarm went off this morning. I was laying in bed. I was begging God for... I had a prayer request this morning at 6:30 this morning. Begging God, by 7:15 he answered it. Thankful. It's not a one line of communication. Yes, he talks to me, but he expects me to talk to him too. In Jeremiah 29, in verse 12, I'll read you the verse. It's a familiar verse. Jeremiah 29, 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken. That means I will listen unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, and ye shall search for me with all your heart. That's what prayer is. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, turn there. And we're almost done. Psalm 34. I'm going to ask you, have you crossed the bridge? What does that mean? Have you crossed from death unto life? Are you with the Father? Do you know, do you have full assurance that if this was your last day on earth, that through Jesus Christ you'd spend eternity in heaven? Do you know for sure? So how can I know that? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save you from your sin? Have you crossed the bridge? If you've crossed the bridge, number one, do you understand full assurance? Number two, are you worshiping? Number three, are you in the relationship? Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Psalm 34, look at verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Hey, you think that God says, God will answer the prayers of those that have everything all together. That's not what that verse says. I have a broken heart. God says, bring it. Talk to me. That's what he wants. He wants you to talk to him. Say, doesn't God know everything? He knows everything, but he wants you to acknowledge it. It's called humility. We have a real hard time with that. Prayer is humbling. It's me admitting to God, God, I don't know everything. I need your help and wisdom and guidance. God, I literally have no idea where I'm going. Can you help guide and direct me? God, there's things in my life that I know shouldn't be. Can you give me the strength to get rid of them? God, there's things in my life that should be. Can you help me add those things to my life? You know what it is? Prayer is humbling. That's talking to God. God, I have a friend, I have a neighbor, I have a loved one that's going through a hard time. Would you give them the grace? Would you help me to be a blessing to them? Hey, I have a family member that's without you, don't know about you. Would you give me an opportunity to talk to them about Jesus? It just reminds us of our dependence on him. That's what you get. That's what the bridge gets you. It gets you into a relationship. Romans. No, 1 Corinthians. Sorry, 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter number 5. It's our last passage. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which should live, they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. See what that said? That said, if you know the love of Christ, then you're no longer living for you, you're living for Jesus. Again, I think of the song Charity Sing. I want my life to count for Jesus. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. I want you to pay very close attention to these next two verses. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. That, you see what that said? God got us from here to him by one way, Jesus Christ. The word he uses is reconciled, to make amends. There was a problem between us and God. And we needed someone to go on our behalf, to bridge the gap between us and the Father, and it was Jesus himself, it says. Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, hey, if you've come across the bridge, you now are an ambassador for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. You have a new ministry. You have a new job. And that's helping others get across the bridge. The ministry of reconciliation. Introducing people to Jesus. That's our responsibility. That's our job. Say, where's the sign-up sheet for that? Do I have to sign up? Do I need to be qualified? Do I have to study something? Do I need a degree? No, that's for all believers. Hey, if you have crossed from death unto life, you know what our responsibility is to help others cross from death unto life. Hey, I'm thankful for a guy 35 years ago in a little Sunday school class when I was 10 years old, sat down and helped me cross the bridge. So what does that mean? I was sitting in a church service. I've never been in church before. We went to a church, but it didn't preach the Bible before. I went to this church, and I was Sunday school. I was 10. Sat down, and he sat next to me on one of those little tables with the little chairs. To me, he was a big guy, but he sat in the little chair right next to me, and he showed me how Jesus Christ died for me, that he loved me, and if I had asked him, he would forgive me of all my sin. You know what he did? He reconciled me. He helped me make right with the Father. He helped me across the bridge. Maybe you're here today and you've never crossed. You don't know for sure that if you were to die today, where you'd spend eternity. Or maybe you do know and it's not where you want to go. Can I invite you to come across the bridge? Say, how do I do that? You admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. The Bible says, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We saw that in our Sunday school class today. We were reminded of that. Say, I've never sinned. You're a liar. Right there. We all have sinned. Every single one of us. And that's why Jesus Christ died on the cross. Because of an impassable expanse. We could not get from where we were to God. So we needed a bridge. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ today, you can have full assurance. Put right in God's hand. And you can have a relationship with him. And he'll talk to you and lead you and guide you. And you can talk with him. But then you have a responsibility to help others. Help others come to Christ. Who are you? Who are you coaxing? Who are you trying to, hey, come on over. You can do it. Jesus died for you. Come on. Who are you telling about Christ? Hey, this is the most important thing in the entire world. This week football starts. This is more important than football. This week school starts. This is more important than school. Those things are temporal. This is eternal. So who are you helping to reconcile? Let's all stand. Appreciate your attentiveness here this morning. In a moment, we're going to have something called an invitation. Invitation is just simply where we open up the altar down here. We got steps down here. And if the Lord touched your heart about something, you want to come and pray. I'd like to prompt your thoughts, though. Number one, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, if you don't know what it means to be a child of God, say, Pastor, would you just pray for me this morning? I have some questions in my heart about all the things that you said. Anybody like that, you can lift your hand up. I don't understand that. All right. If you've never crossed that bridge, why wouldn't you do that today? So, Pastor, I've neglected the relationship. Yes, I'm saved. Yes, I know for sure. But I don't spend time in the Scriptures. I don't spend time talking with Him like I should. Well, maybe you need to come fix that this morning. Maybe you need to come and just pray. Thirdly, who are you helping across the bridge? And I'm so glad that guy told me about Jesus that day. He helped me get to the Father. Who are you helping? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. I ask you to bless this time of invitation. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this time. Lord, as you work in our hearts, I pray if someone here today isn't saved, that today would be the day. There's no reason to wait. God, if someone has neglected their relationship with you, haven't been reading, haven't been talking, haven't been praying like they should, that today they make that commitment. Maybe be bolder in being a witness for you, Lord. I pray you'd help us with these things. Bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning? Lord, touch your heart. Would you come forward?